Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Greater Alton Church. I'm one of your fill-in guys, and it's good to be together this morning. I got to say, Bob, thank you for preaching last week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I was going to go up and talk to him because he always comes up to me afterwards, you know, to encourage me. But I couldn't get to him. He had all these people around him. It was like Tulsa. And I was like, going, look at this. I thought, I'll stay away, but I hope I can follow what he did. Because I was very, very encouraged by what he had to share as we looked at Easter after Easter. I thought that was kind of cool. I've got a couple of things to let you know about, and I think they're in your bulletin, besides the notes. I think there's, a Little Prairie Bible Camp. It's coming up. I just came from there. We've been cleaning and preparing and getting the camp ready. And if you haven't signed up, please sign your teenager, sign your kid up. And if you just, you know, anybody, sign them up, you know, get on that website, get them signed up. We'd love to share a week with them as we're looking at peacemakers, how to make peace. We don't want to be peace fakers. We want to be peacemakers. And we will have some, I guess you'd call things you can fill out. We'll try to have them at the Welcome Center after church if you want something like that. But you can go to the website. And I want to thank everybody that went down this past work day. Lots to do, and we got a lot of stuff done. Also, would you mark in your calendar June the 1st? June the 1st, we're having a celebration here, and we're going to celebrate together our graduates. We're going to be looking at the steps ahead, and we're going to be also celebrating our graduates that are graduating out of high school and out of grade school into junior high. We're really excited about this. We're bringing back the root beer kegger. Now, I know some of you going, kegger, that doesn't sound right. I know, but focus on the root part of that, and you'll be fine. You know, what was banned at SAUE, we have brought it back, and we're bringing it back here. We call it Root Beer Riot at SAUE. We had to call it that, which we were fine with. But we're bringing it back, hamburgers, hot dogs. We're going to have a great time together and just celebrate growing up and going forward into the next steps, because that's what we've been talking about this year. That's been our theme. Is this idea of what's the next step? We want to follow in his steps. Now today, we are starting a new series, and it's a long series. It's going to be almost into the swell into the summer series called God Is. We're looking at all the different attributes, the different sides of God, the characteristics of God. Let me ask you a question as we start this series, because I'm introducing this topic. If you were to make a list of people that you would say, I know them, who would make that list? Now, first of all, before you thinking about that, before you do that, I'm not talking about people you know of or people you've heard of or you know some facts about. You know, well, I know where they live. I know where they work. But do you know them? Would you say, yeah, I know them like we would say like the back of my hand. Isn't that an interesting idiom, you know? Do you know them well? Would you consider yourself to say, I know them extremely well? And then ask yourself this. Could I put God on that list? Could I put God on that list? Because knowing God is the most important thing you could give your life to doing. I think Jesus said something in John 17. He said, this is eternal life, to know God and to know his son Jesus. So it's a big deal. It's an eternal deal here when you stop and think about it. And most of all, that makes sense because here on your notes, if you want to follow along or up on the screen, it makes sense then. I was created and made to know God. You look at Adam, the first relationship he had was with God. Then Eve came along. And Eve had a relationship with God. It's the most important relationship you can have. And knowing this God is the most important quest or journey you could take. Look at the Bible says here in Jeremiah 9. This is during the Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah, God through and is talking to his people through this prophet Jeremiah. And he's wanting to encourage them as they're going through some tough times. He says, the Lord says, let not the wise man bask in his wisdom, nor the mighty man in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. Look what it says here. Let them boast in this alone. That they truly know me and understand that I am the Lord of justice and of righteousness, whose love is steadfast. I love this last part. And that I love to be this way. Well, what's it mean to know God then? He says, if there's anything you should boast about, and we boast about what we focus on. I mean, ask me about my grandchildren and you're going to have an hour of boasting. Did you know that they did this? One of my grandchildren got student of the year and the whole family was shocked. But I'll brag about it. You know, oh, they won this competition. And so there are important things. He says, but let me tell you what you really ought to boast about is knowing and understanding who God is. That's the one you want to have your thoughts captured with, your goals formed with, is this idea of knowing God. So what's it mean to know God? Well, let me give you three thoughts here as I thought about this. Knowing God is more than knowing information. It's much more than knowing facts. I can know a lot about someone and still not know them. Now, I'm going to date myself, so if you're 20 or whatever, I'm sorry, but I'm going to date myself. How many of you can tell, say, you know, you've heard of Lou Brock? Anybody here? And I know that the Cubs used to have him, but the biggest mistake they ever made was trading him to the Cardinals. That's a fact. Look it up, you know. And I'd like to say, I've met Lou Brock. I've seen the World Series ring on his finger. I've talked to Lou Brock. I know he was born June 18, 1939 in El Dorado, Arizona. He has the second highest stolen bases in the major leagues. 938, I think. And I know that he's left-handed. Did you know that? He's left-handed. How many left-handers we got out here? You're like Lou Brock. Wow. You're strange. But you know, I know all this stuff. I've met him, but I tell you what, I don't know him. He's never invited me over. Hey, Tim, come on over to the house. Let's spend some. He never did that. I can know a lot about somebody and not know them. I can know a lot of facts about God and still not know him. Jesus is talking about some people here that were experts in their Bibles. They knew about the Christ. They knew about the Messiah. They had lots of facts down. 330 prophecies about Jesus. And this group he's talking to know all 330 some prophecies about Jesus. They're waiting for Jesus. And look what he says. You study carefully what the Bible teaches. You think that those books will give you life with God. And I love this. And it's true. Those books do speak about who I am. But then you refuse to come to me. And so that you may have life with God. He says, they do speak of life, eternal life, but eternal life is knowing me. And yet you refuse to come to me. You can know a lot about God, but doesn't necessarily mean you know God. Number two, knowing God is not based on how religious I am. It's not based on how religious. I might know all the jargon. I might do religious-y things, churchy things. I call them churchy things. I might do a lot of cool stuff, a lot of good stuff. That doesn't mean I necessarily know God. You ever walked up to somebody? And you're walking up to them and you go, how you doing? You Bill or whoever. And they go, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Do I know you? This happened to me yesterday. I had a JC from last year. I spent a week working with this JC and I didn't recognize them. And the look on their face like, how can you? I spent a week working here, scrubbing, picking stuff up, dealing with kids. I did a lot of stuff for you. You don't even know me? I'm sorry, Ruth. I thought you were somebody else. Oh my gosh, you could do a lot of good stuff. That doesn't mean for God and you, that you know God. Look at this. Again, Jesus is speaking here. Not all those who say to me, you are our Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do what my Father in heaven wants. On that last day, many people will say to me, Lord, Lord, as if, you know, I know you, right? We spoke of you. And through you, we forced out demons and did many miracles. Then I will tell them clearly, get away from me, you who do evil. I never knew you. Wow. You can be religious. You can do good things in the name of God. You can come to church and not miss a Sunday and not know God. Hosea says it like this. I love this because what's God really want? Does he want all of our work? But look what he says that he really wants. Hosea said it like this. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. So if you do a lot of things, but it doesn't somehow result in knowing God, he goes, man, don't do those things. If you're not intent on knowing God, stop coming here. You're wasting time. You're wasting your time. If you're not intent, if you're not driven to know God, don't volunteer. It doesn't make any sense to. Because if you can do all kinds of good things, I can do all kinds of good things and still miss the Lord and not know Him. Ugh. Number three, knowing God. So what is it? Knowing God is knowing Him personally. Like that, like the people you would put on that list that we're making. I know them personally. I've been around them. I've spoken to them. They've spoken to me. We've spent lots of time together. I love Hosea. He says this as well in the Amplified Bible. So let us know and become personally acquainted with Him. Let us press on to know and understand fully the, he says, the Lord, the greatness of God, in other words. And what's it look like? To honor and to deeply cherish Him. It's a personal thing. Years ago, you all know, some of you know this to be true. I had a woman come up to me. Her name was Karen. She goes, I want you to meet my husband. His name's Vernon. And I go, okay, why? Well, I've been coming here, and I want him to start coming here, and I think you could help him. I think it'd be great if you could study the Bible with him. Well, tell me a little bit about him. And she starts giving me facts. And one of them is, well, he's an atheist. Well, that's going to be challenging. He's an atheist. Yeah, he doesn't. He's a biology teacher. He's very intelligent. Well, what are you asking me for? Man, that's the worst thing you could do. Well, I think you guys could hit it off. So I get in my car. I go up to Bunker Hill. And there's Matthews. He's got a road named after him. And I go, and there he is at breakfast. And he's eating. And I sit down. He doesn't even look at me. He's just eating. So you're Tim. And I go, yes, I'm Tim. Pleased to meet you. Uh-huh. Have you ever had grits? I don't know how this is going to lead to Jesus Christ at all. What's this got? What's grits got? I'm here to help you understand the Lord, and you're wanting to talk about food. And he goes, you ever had grits? I don't like grits. You've not had my grits. And without, gets up, makes me some. I got to admit, they were pretty good. And then, well, next thing you know, I started coming every week. We started doing something. And some of you know, we went on trips together. I think it's four different trips we went together on. And, man, when you're driving, you can't go anywhere. You're talking about everything. He's asking me hard questions. I'm asking him hard questions. He thinks, you're in with me to help me. I think I'm there for him to help me. And we're just exchanging all these ideas and thoughts. And, you know, he doesn't write me off. I don't write him off. We became so close. A relationship with Vernon Matthews was gold to me. And when I got to do his funeral, and it was an honor to do his funeral, church, we had chairs wall to wall. It was packed here. All the people he touched, and he touched me. I still go visit him. I still go visit. I go by his cemetery up here at Wood River, and where he used to live just a block or two away. I still go see him and talk to him a little bit there. I know it's his body, and we can talk later. But I'm just saying that I sit there and I talk to him. I said, Vernon, you're not going to believe what happened today or this week or this year. I can say I know Vernon Matthews. And see, that's what it's like when you talk about knowing God. I read this week. It says, knowing God involves knowing Him deeply, understanding His character, and having a sense of closeness and belonging in His presence. It's an active, growing relationship of trust that brings fulfillment. It results in joy. It results in peace. It has an eternal impact. You have nothing to worry about. I found out why Vernon was having the problems he was with God. We finally got to those topics. And after a while, as you work stuff out, I've had people say to me, I can't pray. And then I watch them. I said, what do you mean? I can't pray. I said, Lord, I can't pray because I can't do this. And you know, I don't know how to understand this. And I go, well, that's what you're doing when you talk like that. And it's that time we spend with God, that parlay back and forth of listening and talking and listening and talking, that this personal relationship is developed. It is through faith. I want you to know, we're not talking about Santa Claus. We're not talking about Tooth Fairy. Those are in the theory category. It takes faith to believe in Santa. It takes faith to believe. You're right. But with God, there's so much evidence that gives us reason to want to know Him. So how? How do I know God? How can I? As we start this series, we're going to be looking at all of the facets, all the different ways God, different sides of God. How do I do this? What can I do to get to know God? Let me give you four steps. There's many, but here's four I picked. Number one is I read my Bible. I read my Bible. I start reading it. I'm not a reader. You're looking at somebody that's not a reader either. Yeah, but Tim, you read more than I do. You think it's easy for me? I have to get a dictionary out a lot of times. It's frustrating. Sometimes it's frustrating because we need to get better glasses, to be honest. Sometimes it's simple that, and sometimes it's like, I just need to sit down, and if I can't read it, I need to listen. Now I have access to audio. I can listen to it. But I need to get into God's Word. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I only know a few things that are better than this. When I get a letter or a card or a text or an email from somebody that loves me. You know what I'm saying? Handwritten letter. Oh, my goodness. Or they throw a gif at me, some kind of a gif. I love doing that. We go back and forth, you know. They're just something. Why is that special when you get a letter, a handwritten letter, or a text that's more than, how you doing, I'm fine, but it's a little more revealing? You ever catch yourself doing this? I catch myself doing this as I'm reading it. I can see their face. I can hear their voice because it's from them. It's from inside them, deep inside them. And I get to know them because they're revealing themselves through words. I think that's why they meet so much. Look at the Bible says here in 2 Timothy 3. We use this verse, we throw it around about the authority of God, but let's think of it, we could just think of it a little bit like this. Everything that is written in the Bible comes from God's Spirit. That's a big statement. Everything I read in the Bible, it comes from the Spirit. What's that mean? The heart, inside. It's God breathed. What's that mean? It means that He inhales and out come the words. He breathes to say these things. They're from deep inside Him. His lungs, His heart, His spirit, His thoughts, His desires, His dreams, His feelings. All of that's coming out in the Bible. It helps us in many ways. Well, of course. It's the best email, the best text, the best letter. I've heard one preacher say it's God's love letter. It is the best love letter. I got love letters. I know some of you probably wouldn't want your wife or husband to know you've saved a couple of those love letters from somebody. I have some of those from Denise in my memory box. They mean everything to me. Especially how she ends it with that XO, XO, XO. That word, OXA, OXA, OXA. What does that mean? I asked somebody, I go, what is this word? I didn't know, I've never seen it before. He goes, you know what that means? That means hugs and kisses. Well. And I want you to know, I believe that the Word of God, it's not the words in and of themselves. Now listen, God didn't write the Bible so we'd worship the Bible, but worship Him. He didn't write the Bible so we'd know our Bibles, but know Him. Because listen, you cannot worship an unknown God. You won't trust an unknown God. But when you know Him and you trust Him, it affects your worship. It affects everything. And this is all these thoughts. It teaches us what's true. He always tells the truth. We got one of the lessons in this series is God is truthful. He warns us of what we're doing wrong. He shows us, notice that, teaches, warns, shows us what's right, teaches us how to live God in lives. And we always say, you know, the Word of God, we go by the Word of God. Yeah, but we not only go by the Word of God, we go by the Word of God to know God who wrote this. That's why I'm excited about this series, looking at all the different facets. Because, and I want to encourage you to think of ways to listen when you come here. You know, sure, come here on Sundays and let's go through this series together. But there's other things online you can listen to. Don't be afraid not only to listen to stuff, but read some other books. I'm reading a book called The Attributes of God, Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Our God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips. That's an old book. I'm reading a book written by a guy who last name is Pink, and he died like in the early 1900s. And I found out, I'm sorry, but some of these older people know what they're talking about. And I'm also watching podcasts or listening to podcasts and watching videos of young men tackling this idea of knowing God. What's it like? What's it all about? And I would hope you would do that too. You would join me and join all of us as we try to get deeper and deeper and deeper. Because once we learn more of these attributes, we're going to take a step closer to God. It'll draw us. When I first heard about Denise, I asked Bill Thomason, who is that girl? That's Denise Doty. Tell me about her. Well, I used to date her. What's she like? Oh, she lives in Bone Gap. Her mom and dad are farmers. And she likes this color and she likes this particular food. Oh, wow. You want to meet her? Huh? Now? Yeah. And we go and meet her. And I go from, get out of my way, Bill. I don't need you anymore. I have Denise now. And that's really what God wants. He said, he's, you know, listen to these guys, listen to these people, and yeah, read this article. But as soon as you figure it out of the way, Tim, I want to talk to Jesus myself. I want to know him myself. I'm excited because I've got, not only Gary and Alan or Mike are going to be helping with this series, but I've asked TK to join us. He's going to join us. He's preaching on Father's Day. I thought that'd be kind of cool. And I've also asked Mark to preach on God's wisdom during this series. A couple of young men, we need them in the pulpit. I think it's going to be exciting. That's the first thing. I got to get into the Word of God. There's no way to get out of it. So just, if I'm not a reader, I want to encourage you to know, I'm not a reader. It's not a race. We're not trying to hurry up and finish before everybody else. Just start reading the Bible. Just start reading the Bible. Go home and look at these scriptures and see what you think of them, all right? Number two, I stop and marvel at all that God has made. If I want to know God, it requires just stopping, being still, and just looking around. Sometimes the best Bible you can read is creation. It's just the Bible out here. It's everywhere. Look at these passages we're going to read together here. There's Psalms 19. The heavens show how great God is. Gary's talking about that, the greatness of God. The heavens show us how great God is. The sky above shows his good work. Each day speaks about God until the next day continues the story. Every night tells how great God is. They don't use words to speak with. Nobody hears their voice, but their message goes around all the earth. All the world can understand what they say. Creation is constantly speaking to you and I. We're hurrying out the door. We're rushing out the door. Chuck and I this week I come into the office and he goes, I can't believe all the birds in the morning. They're loud and they're crazy. And what are the birds telling us? They're telling us something. They're speaking in a language if we'll stop and listen. And it's not just wake up. It's God is here. God has made all this. And if that's not enough, that evening, I was at Little Prairie Friday night. I was talking to Nathan a little bit. And I'm walking toward the cabins, and it's dark. And some of you have been to Little Prairie Bible Camp. You know where that creek is, where that little concrete bridge is. And it's been raining and raining, and it wasn't. And the moon was barely coming out of the clouds, and you could hear the brook. You know, bubbling stuff. And I said, do you hear it, Nathan? And he goes, yeah. Man, I wish I was there. Yeah. There's just something about nature is constantly speaking to us day and night, day and night. You're busy. I'm busy. We get caught up in our busyness. Am I right? We get really crazy, everything. I got a to-do list. Hey, maybe you ought to stop and consider the to-done list of God. Look what he's done. Look what he's doing. It's amazing. Here, in Romans 1, ever since God made the world, he has been showing people clearly about himself. We cannot see God, but the things that he's made show us clearly what he's like. We can understand his great power that continues forever. We can know, look at that, we can know that he is the true God. So there's no reason for anyone to say, we could not know about God. Say, oh yeah, you can. You can know. Sometimes when you go on vacation, instead of hurrying up and getting to wherever restaurant you're wanting to go to, it's to stop and look at the sights. Go to Colorado. Go to Montana. Go to Pierre Marquette. Or just stay in your backyard and just watch God come to you with a message from nature. He's speaking all the time. We have no excuse to not know God. I'm not in my Bible, yeah, but you're in creation. And creation is talking to us constantly of what God is like. I want to ask you, what's preoccupying your mind this morning? Is it politics? I watch too much politics stuff. Anybody else guilty of this? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, Alan. Yeah, we do. Oh, caught up into politics. What did Trump do today? You know, what's AOC up to? What's going on next? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Are they bringing him back? The border, the economy, eggs. I mean, it's just constant. And if it's not, I know it's silly, doesn't it? But if it's not the politics and I get caught up in this, maybe it's my health. Oh, I don't know. I got this. I got to go into the doctor. I got to make this. These are big deals. I'm not saying don't think of them. But do they preoccupy your mind way too much? Maybe it's work. I got this to do. I got that to do. I got this assignment to get done. I gotta. Look what David said. He was a busy guy. Look, he says, come and see what the Lord has done. The amazing things he has done on earth. God says, be still and know that I'm God. I'm saying that all these things we get our concerns, I get concerned about, they rob me and they rob you of God speaking through his creation. God says, Tim, slow down. Stay calm. Be still a minute. Stop talking. Stop worrying. Sit down. I'm like a Jack Russell terrier. Stop it. Set the cares of the world aside so you can see the world. Look at it. Listen. You can't hear birds because you're too busy watching something on YouTube. You're too busy seeing. You can't see a sunset because you're too busy focused on something else. Just be still. And guess what? You can know I am God. Take it all in. Number three, if I want to know God, I invest my time and energy to know God. Think about this. Would you agree with this, that intimacy takes investment? Yeah. You're not going to know a stranger. The best relationships you got is because of all the investment of that time and that energy where you're doing things together. The people we know the best are the people we spend time with the most. This occurred to me as I was thinking about this. I wrote this down. I know God as much as I want to. That's true for me. I know God as much as I want to. And that's true for you. You know God, you're as close to God as you want to be. Look at David here. He really wants to know God. He says this in Psalm 63, God, you are my God. I search for you. I thirst for you like someone in a dry, empty land where there's no water. You've moved up the priority list so much. It's like I can't think of anything else, worry about anything else. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I thirst for you like that. Now, I say this because I know sometimes this idea of studying and trying to know God can be a little intimidating. Okay, it can be a lot intimidating. Like, oh, I don't know. I'm not a preacher. You know, I don't, listen, it, this doesn't, it is not impossible for you to know God personally. I think sometimes preachers complicate it, to be quite honest. I think we complicate it. I'm here to tell you that it's not too difficult for you to understand who God is and how He works. And it's worth the effort. It's worth the effort if you'll give your energy and your time to knowing God. Look at this in Proverbs 2. Couldn't help but think about the ladies' retreat, ladies, when you looked at Job 28. Remember that? That passage y'all got? Here's the echo of that. It says, listen to wisdom and do your best to understand. Ask for good judgment. Cry out for understanding. Look for wisdom like silver. Search for it like hidden treasure. If you do this, you will understand what it means to respect the Lord, and you'll come to know God. See, I'll never know God with a casual effort, with a hit and miss. It's got to be something like I'm looking for something to drink when I'm thirsty. That natural desire that says, I'm going to discipline myself and I'm going to look. I'm going to spend time reading the Word. I'm going to spend time dwelling on what God's about. I'm going to listen for His voice. So I invest my time and energy to know God. And lastly, I accept God's invitation. I accept God's invitation. What do you mean by that? I open my heart to Him. Look at what James says, come close to God and God will come close to you. I can know a lot about someone, but until they invite me into their life, I'm not going to know much more. Make sense? If I want to know someone, I'm not going to know them as much until they begin to invite me. And by the way, let me say that again. If they invite me, I accept that invitation. Because I know people said, hey, can we get together? No, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't, we can't. I don't know them. It's true in all relationships. There's this invitation and this acceptance of invitation that makes the difference between knowing about and knowing of to actually knowing someone. And the same is true with the Lord. Again, that's why the best relationships we have in our lives have been with people that have invited us and we said yes, or we invited them and they said yes. There's this mutual inviting and welcoming that takes place. And that's why you're good friends and you're close and you know them. I love this, what David says. David was after God's own heart. And look what he says. I bring all my thoughts to you. He knows God wants to know him. He knows God knows him. He knows God's wanting to be close to him. So he goes, here's my response. I bring everything to you, Lord. You're going to know everything. I'm talking about everything. As a preacher, or I guess a lot of times people won't speak to me about personal things. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it's because I'm a blabbermouth. It might come out in a sermon. So they're afraid to talk to me about personal things. And I get it. I'm working on it. I understand. But I listen. I listen to some of you talking off in the corner. Well, this is going on. Blah, 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 and I'm going, man, why won't they talk to me that way? Because I'm not as close to them. They're like soulmates. They're kindred spirits. They're best friends. And that's what you do. You share everything with each other. But it started with learning about them. And then they inviting you into their life, into their home, into their thoughts, into their dreams, into their lives, that it went from a superficial relationship or a superficial acquaintance to an actual deep friendship. I want you to know this morning, God doesn't hide from you. That's important to remember. God doesn't hide from you. He isn't playing games. He doesn't hide. He's lousy at hide and seek. In fact, I think he says if you seek him, he said, with all your heart, he goes, I will be found by you. He promises that he wants you to find him. He wants you to know him well. In fact, look at what it says here in John 6. Jesus said, I never turn away the one who comes to me. I'll never do that. You come to me, you're going to learn from me, you're going to learn of me. We're going to be friends. We're going to be so good of good friends. We're family. And so if you want to know God, you have to open your heart. And I think we have to open our heart often. It's not just a one-time thing. It's like sometimes I just get a... There's distance. Why? Because I've closed my heart to God. I've been hurt by something. I'm confused about something. Or I'm caught up into something else. And my heart's just not as focused on God like it could be. I'm going to read a passage to you that I've never read in a sermon. But I heard it as a kid over and over and over. And it's the words of Jesus when he's talking to Laodicea in Revelation 3. And in that passage, when you read about Laodicea, he says, I wish you were hot or cold. Remember that? One way or the other, but you're lukewarm. And I'm about to just gag and spit you out of my mouth. And then he says this, look, I'm standing at the door of your house. I'm knocking at your door. When you hear my voice, you should open the door. Then I'll come in and we will eat a meal together as friends. I remember years ago when I was in my denominational background, a preacher showed the picture by a painting by a famous Christian artist, and it had a picture of Jesus and he's at the door knocking. And he said, do you notice there's no doorknob on the outside? And I went, I never noticed that before. It's always stuck with me. And then he said, it can only be opened up from the inside. What a great thought. Now, I think there's a doorknob on the outside. I don't know any doors unless it's a safe or a, I mean, even they got a handle. But why do you say that, Tim? Because when I was going to do some research on doors in ancient Israel, I thought, why do I have to do that? If you're going to get in your house, you got to have a door, some way to get in, right? So all doors have a doorknob on both sides. And then it occurred to me, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't bully his way in. He doesn't force himself in. You catch that? He's waiting for you to let him in. Now some of you are going to get, are you talking about a sinner's prayer? There's no prayer mentioned here. So I want to make it clear. There's no prayer in this passage. He's saying to the Christian who somehow has, something's happened. He's on the outside again. He's outside. And he says, you're lukewarm and now I'm outside. I'm at the door. I'm at your door. Just let me in. And it'll change everything. We'll eat together. We'll be close together. Friends know each other. Well, no, you can know me. You can know me. I'm not going to force myself in. You've got to open the door. Let me ask you as we conclude, you got a card in your bulletin you might want to fill out this morning, maybe a prayer request or a decision you want to make or a question you have. Let me ask you some questions. As you get them cards out, are you content with knowing about God? Are you somebody who knows a lot about God? Are you content with that? Because eternal life is not based on how much I know about God. It's whether or not I know God. Are you in the Bible? Are you in your Bibles? It's a question we all should ask ourselves. Am I really in my Bible? Or is the only Bible I get when I'm at church on Sunday? Or small group? What effort and time am I contributing to knowing God? Because I know God as much as I want to. Has it been a while since I just, stopped doing so much and I need to take a break and just look at the world, at creation? Maybe I need to go on a vacation somewhere where there's some mountains. Or Grand Canyon, or maybe it's just a state park or some. I just need to, and just listen in the evening or early morning. Or look at the stars. Because every day is God speaking. Have I shut that out? Have I welcomed God and really welcomed Him in my life? He's welcomed me. Have I accepted that invitation? Does God feel welcomed in my life? Is He really on that list? I want to encourage you in the sermon series, you know, to really listen. I want to encourage you to take a step. Maybe it's a daring step going, I'm going to get back in my Bible. And you say, I don't know where to start. Well, talk to somebody here and talk it over and figure out maybe there's a place you could start. Maybe it's the Psalms. That's where I started to get to know God, was the Psalms. Or maybe it's the Gospel of John. I just want to encourage you to do that. We're going to take some time here. We're going to sing while you fill out these cards. And then after this song, we're going to take them up. I know some of you here may be a guest here. And we don't say this much. We haven't said this in a while. You're not under no obligation to give. As people leave, they put money in the basket. You don't have to give anything. We're not interested in getting something from you. We really want to give you something this morning. I hope, and it's my hope, and it's our hope as a church, if you're a guest here, that you will find that knowledge of God that gives you incredible peace. Let's pray, and then we'll close out our service here. Father, we come to you in prayer. We read your word, and we look at your world, and Father, we marvel at who you are. Even though we may be limited, we marvel at what we know so far. We know that you want more than our minds. You want our hearts. And Father, we know you want our desires over our deeds. And Father, we just ask you, help us in this series to grow to know you the most. Father, are you on the outside? We ask, help us open the door of our heart to invite you, to include you, to listen to you, to grow closer to you. For some of us here, Father, it may be just opening the Bible with somebody, looking at what we do to be saved. And for some of us here, it may mean admitting that we've grown apart, that somehow there's a door between us. Our desire, because of its lukewarmness, has somehow, this unseen distance is existing. Oh, God, help us repent. We need to repent. And Father, we ask you, bless this series. Speak to each of us as we examine your character. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
This is my desire to give you praise, all that I would. every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way.